Bill de Blasio will be the next mayor of New York.
The people of this city have chosen a progressive path. And tonight we set forth on it, together as one city.
De Blasio wins with a mandate and near unanimous praise for his skills as a political operator. His campaign rightly predicted that voters were hungry for something different after Mayor Bloomberg, and he gave them a consistent message of change. But as WNYC's Anna Sale reports, de Blasio also benefited from a few lucky breaks after a rough start to his campaign.
Look, this has been a very long road.
A week out from Election Day, Bill de Blasio already sounded very pleased with how his campaign strategy was panning out.
I think I started out as the underdog for sure. I was the underdog for a long time. But once the momentum built, it's never stopped.
At first, it looked like Bill de Blasio couldn't catch a break. As this race was taking shape, de Blasio faced three major setbacks. First, one of his chief attacks against initial frontrunner Christine Quinn got neutralized.
People in this city know why we need paid sick days.
But then City Council made a deal on paid sick leave. And Christine Quinn was the hero.
I miss anybody because there's a big crowd. Just holler.
Quinn was surrounded as she announced the deal in front of cameras at City Hall. Tellingly, she was joined by some labor leaders. This was setback number two. Big Labor wasn't convinced de Blasio was their guy. Despite his long ties to unions, de Blasio got just one major endorsement in the primary from healthcare workers. Christine Quinn got building and hotel workers, and the coveted teachers union, they bet on Bill Thompson.
Because he is the next mayor of New York City, Mr. Bill Thompson.
Christine Quinn had carved her ground as the establishment choice, with an appeal to history as the first woman and openly gay candidate. Bill Thompson, the only black candidate, was counting on a demographic advantage and a majority-minority primary electorate. Labor was supposed to be Bill de Blasio's base, unless he could create a path to victory through the outer boroughs. Here was setback number three.
Look, I made some big mistakes, and I know I let a lot of people down. But I've also learned some tough lessons.
Anthony Weiner, his chutzpah and message about those in the middle class and struggling to make it, crowded out de Blasio's tale of two cities. It was temporary.
I have said that other texts and photos were likely to come out, and today they have.
That was lucky break number one for de Blasio, even though the impact of Weiner's fall wasn't immediately clear. Bradley Tusk, Bloomberg's 2009 campaign manager, said at the time that the revelations didn't really change anything.
If you had asked me before the scandal yesterday who was in the runoff, I would have told you Quinn and Thompson. And if you asked me after the scandal today who's in the runoff, the answer is Quinn and Thompson.
But that was before Dante.
I want to tell you a little bit about Bill de Blasio.
The de Blasio campaign launched the TV ad featuring the candidate's teenage son the second week of August. The ad and Dante's prominent afro introduced New Yorkers to de Blasio as the candidate whose family looked like New York.
Bill de Blasio will be a mayor for every New Yorker, no matter where they live or what they look like. And I'd say that even if he weren't my dad.
The decision to run the ad was strategically masterful, and the timing was helped by lucky break number two. Because just as it hit, the other candidates had started to flounder. Quinn couldn't escape a trail of protesters or the lingering discontent about her support of Bloomberg's third term. Chelsea's Ivana Balfour should have been a core Quinn voter.
I would have been for Christine Quinn 4 years ago, but I can't forgive her for the third term. Just can't.
As for Bill Thompson, next to de Blasio's multiracial family that was new on the scene, he looked stale.
Well, Bill Thompson already had a try and he lost, so, you know what, let me give someone else a chance.
Dion Roman, a Caribbean-American voter in Crown Heights, was among the throngs of de Blasio backers cheering him on at the West Indian Day Parade over Labor Day weekend.
Our mayor-to-be, Bill Blasio, our mayor-to-be, September 10th, I'll be at the police station at 6 o'clock.
De Blasio's momentum was cresting at just the right moment.
The New York City Board of Elections says that with all precincts reporting, Bill de Blasio has 40.12%, a whisker above the 40% threshold needed to avoid a runoff.
Leading to lucky break number three, No runoff. Bill Thompson came in second, and after waiting a few days to watch decimal points and late vote counts, he conceded.
I am proud to stand here today and support Bill de Blasio to be the next mayor of the city of New York.
Thompson, Quinn, and the rest of the Democrats split just so, and de Blasio won the Democratic primary outright.
There is nothing more beautiful than Democratic unity, and thank you for it.
De Blasio could avoid another bruising few weeks of campaigning within his party and focus on his Republican opponent. Lucky break number four was the billionaire in the mayoral debate. Not Michael Bloomberg, but John Katsimatidis.
As MTA chairman, Joe Loda raised subway fares and bridge tolls. John Katsimatidis will never do that.
Joe Loda lost the Republican stronghold of Staten Island to Katsimatidis. After all those ads, more likely voters had an unfavorable view of Joe Loda than favorable in the first general election poll. More than a quarter of Republicans didn't like him. Joe Loda tried to run as a manager who could be trusted, who was a different sort of Republican. This was his first TV ad.
Bill de Blasio is pro-choice. Joe Loda is pro-choice. Loda supports gay marriage. De Blasio supports gay marriage.
But talk about bad timing. Loda's first debate against de Blasio came during the government shutdown and debt ceiling standoff in Washington. National opinions about the Republican Party were hitting historic lows.
That the Republican Party has brought us right up to the brink of disaster, the Tea Party element especially. And you will never see me in a room with Tea Party leaders.
If you're counting, that was lucky break number five for de Blasio. There were still more, like the Loda campaign's inconsistent attacks on de Blasio, or the timing of federal court rulings on stop and frisk and campaign finance. And in the end, the guy who at first looked pretty unlucky finished Election Day with a sweeping mandate for his sweeping message.
Bill de Blasio understands that we are at our best when no one is left behind.
Bill de Blasio correctly read the latent Bloomberg fatigue. And with his tale of two cities and call to tax the rich to pay for pre-K, he tapped New Yorkers' longing to find a candidate who got their individual struggles.
That inequality, that feeling of a few doing very well, while so many slip further behind, that is the defining challenge of our times.
But in the primary and the general, Bill de Blasio's electoral fortunes were lifted in ways that even the smartest tactician of New York politics couldn't predict. For WNYC, I'm Anna Sale.